Yeah, you guys are pretty tired, eh? I understand it. I'm tired too. But the second session we talked about the struggle with waiting, and how waiting for Jesus or God, same person, Holy Spirit, doesn't matter, waiting for the Trinity to give you a sign is really hard, and waiting in Him. Now, those are good things to have as a disciple, obviously. But we obviously asked the overarching question was, are you a disciple? And, you know, you guys answer that personally. And I just want you guys to be able to say yes with assurance at the end of this weekend, or, oh man, I got to look into some things by the end of this weekend in this talk, because it's important either way. Like, you need to identify it, you need to know it, and when you do know it, you got to own it. And that's what this talk's about, standing firm for what you know to be true. And as a disciple, you would believe that Jesus Christ and His message and the Bible is true. So, but if we look at it, and we look at the early disciples who became apostles, all but one of them have recorded to have been martyred for their faith, and the one they tried to martyr them didn't work, so they marooned them. So let's look into that for a little bit and think about, why would they do this? Why would they all be willing to die for Jesus and the message? Why did they not have their natural instincts to protect themselves, kick up? You know, we're talking about 100% here, guys. Like, that's a high, high percentage of the followers. You know, all of them were willing to do it, to die for the message. You know, we're not talking about 50%, even 60%, 80%. Oh, we're not 100% of them were willing to die for this new faith that they had found in Jesus, by walking with Him, by being with Him, and by seeing Him do His miracles, do His work, do His preaching, His teaching, and all of that. But through the journey that they had their ups and downs, this group of disciples. They had times of little faith. They had times of great faith. They had times of being rebuked. They had times of being uplifted by Jesus. They had all the times you can imagine. And if we look at a guy like Peter, he showed that he had a strong defense mechanism built into him. Like, Jesus was getting taken to the garden, we read, and he cut the guard's ear off. You know, he was not a guy to go quietly. He just wasn't that. That's not what the Bible is giving us, the message with him. Like, that's not his character that we're seeing. He was the loudmouth. He was the act guy. He was the, you know, you're going to touch somebody up, my sword's coming out, you're getting it. And, you know, so what changed? We need to think about that tonight. What changed in these people to turn them from the cowards that ran to the mighty warriors, let's call them, who were willing to die for the same person and the same message? So what changed? We're talking about basically, you know, 72 hours of time. That's not a long time. So what changed in that time? Let's just go ahead first and let's look at how they died. So we got Peter. Well, he was crucified upside down at his request because he wasn't worthy to die in the same manner that his Lord Jesus died in. So he was crucified upside down. Paul was beheaded. Andrew was said to be crucified. Thomas it was said of him that he was pierced with four spears from four different soldiers, shoving their spears through him. Philip was arrested and cruelly put to death. Matthew was stabbed in Ethiopia. James was stoned, and I guess it didn't work, so then they followed up with a clubbing, and they killed him with stoning and clubbing. Simon was killed after refusing to sacrifice to the sun god. Matthias was burned to death. John, there was the theory that he died of old age. He was marooned on Patmos. But before all that happened, apparently, they tried to boil him in oil. And like you can imagine how much that would have hurt. Basically treated him like a French fry, dropped him in the oil, see what happens. He didn't work, didn't kill him, so they marooned him. That's what was said about him. But by the way, none of this information is in the Bible. This is all historical facts and events. So it is real, but you won't find it in the Bible. But so basically, how do we stand up to that? Are we willing to stand firm for the message that we have? If we say that we are believers, that we are His disciples, we should follow in their footsteps. We should use them as the example to follow. And there's a reason why. We'll get to that later. But as disciples, are we stuck in that place that they were kind of stuck in before Jesus got arrested? The ups and downs. The, I want to believe, but I'm not so sure. And like we talked about, the wind direction change. So, you know, now I got to rethink everything. You know, is that where we are? Or can we safely call ourselves basically post-resurrection disciples? Disciples who stand firm for what they believe. And these guys had a miraculous turnaround in their lives. And you know what? If we do still doubt, like I said many times this weekend, let's address it now. Don't wait. We're not guaranteed to have tomorrow, let alone, you know, how many years. So we don't want to wait. But now, why don't we put ourselves in their shoes? And we're going to go back to the beginning. Okay, so just kind of follow along with me here. So let's say it's today, and this is a modern day example, that you're walking down the street, some guy says, hey, follow me. And you decide to be like, hey, yeah, I'll do like a hippie thing. Oh, yeah, let's go for it. Let's follow. So you follow him along. You know, seems like a cool guy. He preaches different. He acts different. He carries himself differently. Everything's going great. Then he meets, a blind guy, and he spits in the sand, makes a mud pie, shoves it in the guy's face. Voila, he can see. You know, that would be like pretty awesome, wouldn't it be? You know, he just spits in the sand, makes a mud pie, and smack, the guy can see again. That's pretty amazing. That's what Jesus did, by the way. So, you know, we keep going. We keep following. He's like, I got like 5,000 men plus their families here listening to me. They're hungry. Let's take a boy's sandwich and let's feed the community. You know, miracles are happening. Things are happening. He confronts religious leaders in ways that they can't even intellectually have an argument with him, because they look silly. So everything is going great. They still have a little bit of doubt in their minds. And then he starts to talk about death, his death. And then he does die the exact same way he said he would. This is where most of us, if this happened today, if we got wrapped up into following somebody, this is the point where we would check out. Am I right? Is this the point where we'd say, well, that was a good ride while it lasted. That was a good 3 years or whatever. But it's over. You know, nothing. There's nothing here now. That's where we would check out. You know, we are the fad generation. You just look back, and it's actually comical if you look at news searches by the decade of fads. And we are definitely the fad generation. I don't know if any of these will resonate with you, but you have the Atkins diet, planking, flash mobs, the oversized sunglasses, trucker hats, Neopets. I guess I'm old because I don't really know what that is. But there we go. It's a fad, by the way. It's over. But the Bratz, Angry Birds, Gangnam Style. Remember that? That was terrible. The Heelys, the shoes that had the wheels in it. It's like super dangerous, you know? My all-time worst selfies and selfie sticks. Like, come on, kill me now. Like, that one's got to die today. No more selfies, okay, guys? Don't cloud up or clog up Facebook with that stuff no more. It's and we got like emo and goth and all that kind of stuff. All fads, most of them don't exist anymore. No one cares about them. It's over. You love what now? Neopets? Well, that's over. But I'm here today to tell you that Jesus is not a fad. Just isn't. He is the true Lord. And, you know, that is what we ask the question, what changed these guys in 72 hours? When your leader gets nailed to a tree, gets his sides stabbed, and water comes out because it separates from your blood when you're dead. That's the proof you're dead. And they knew he was dead. They didn't have to break his legs on the cross, just like Isaiah predicted. They didn't need to do that because he was dead. They put him in the ground for 3 days. He's dead. After 3 days, he's alive. That changes people's ideas about a thing. And when you know it was not a good ride, it was real. They knew it was real, and they were willing to die for it. That should blow your mind and should change your life forever. We don't have to go through what they had to. In North America, we're pretty safe. You know, you can live your life as a Christian here and be relatively unbothered. It is the peer pressure. It's the things that we're ashamed of. We could be ashamed of Jesus because he's not culturally cool. You're labeled as a loser if you believe in Christ because you don't want to do the things of the world. You don't want to indulge in things that are going to hurt you. And the Bible spells that out. People don't want to see and believe in the morals that the Bible sets before us because they think it ruins fun. They think it cramps their lifestyle. They would much rather have to go see people at the clinic to deal with their STDs and their unwanted pregnancies and, you know, go to rehab for drug and alcohol problems or just never address them and end up in trouble for the rest of their lives and never, ever, ever experiencing what God wants for His creation. And way too many people choose to live in the world and it leads you to death and pain than to believe in the risen God. And that makes me sad. That is a very sad thing. It is so important. Can everyone just say this with me? I don't do this kind of thing. This is not my style. But I think it's important. Can everyone just say and mean it that Jesus is everything? Really? I know it's not my thing, but that was weak. Come on. Mean it. There we go. There we go. Nice. We were listening to that one on delay. It's awesome. A little bit of reverb kicking in there. So, if we believe that, then there should be nothing that we are not willing to give up to honor and to serve Him. Do we understand that? There should be nothing that gets in the way. When things get in the way, we need to identify it, hate it, hate the fact that it's getting in the way, and make good choices. God's not going to make all of our choices for us because we say we love Him. That's your job. To say, I love You more, Lord. I believe You are everything. And today I'm going to make a choice. And that is crucial. So, does your faith pass what I'd like to call the stress test? That if you're in your environment at school or wherever you are, that when people come up to you and challenge your faith to either, like we mentioned, to do things that are morally wrong, that God doesn't want you to do, spelled out very clear in the Bible, you know, sexual immorality, drinking, lust, anything like that, does that stumble you? Does it stumble you if someone comes up to you and says, I don't believe in your God, and here's why, and you, like Aaron said, if anyone was in Aaron's session when he went over this, like, are you ready to give an answer? Do you have an answer? Do you believe in the answer? And the stress test is a good test. Because when you are put through those moments in time when somebody challenges you for your beliefs, it grows you. It makes you really, you come away from it and you're like empowered. You're like, yeah, it is my faith. It is true. I am holding on to Jesus and I love Him and I am so glad that I stood up for Him. And tomorrow we are going to be going into to basically that if you don't stand up and speak the truth in those moments, that you are robbing somebody else of the truth and you're hoarding it, you're holding it on. Don't be a hoard with the truth of the Bible. Don't be ashamed of it. Like Aaron said, you don't have to, you know, force it down their throats or beat them over the head with it. You have to do it in love. But I urge you, speak the truth. You can speak the truth in a very loving, very gentle way and still be bold. And that's what we need to be, and that's what we're going to go over tomorrow. So I won't go too much into that right now. But the devil, in other parts of the world, they are not blessed like us. They do get martyred and persecuted in ways that we don't in North America. And I was thinking about that. I said, well, why? You know, why is it? This is my answer for it. But maybe the devil just sees this as a bigger victory. If you take someone out as a martyr, which just means they died for their faith, they went down with a powerful witness that they did not waver from their beliefs. And guess what happens? See it in China, see it in different places. The Christianity grows. Because people know these people are real. They truly believe in this. It is real to them, and it is real to me if it was the person in the crowd thinking that. So if Jesus can, or if the devil can take us down with a little sin here, or being ashamed there, and all these piddly little things that make us crumble and stumble, and we're not standing firm on what we know to be true, well then, he wins a much bigger victory. He gets a church filled with unhealthy people, unhealthy Christians, who are just going about their business being a poor witness for God, a poor disciple of Jesus Christ. Do we want to be that? Do we want to be that bad example guy that people look at and say, what? He's a Christian? She's a Christian? How can that be? They don't look like a Christian. They don't act like a Christian. They don't do anything Christian. They don't speak of their God. They don't share their faith. They don't do anything that would indicate to me that they're a Christian. They do more things that indicate to me that they're a part of the world. They enjoy the world's sinful desires. That's not the type of follower of Christ that Christ wants you to be. And that's not the type of follower you should want to be. And if you look at the evidences that we've already discussed this weekend, and you add that all up, and you add in just how the early disciples who became the apostles all died for it, and then you ask yourself, would you personally, would any of you, the guy likes the Neopets, or different people, would you die for Neopets? In seriousness, would you die for that? No. Because I know if I had a gun in your head right now, that answer would have come out much quicker. You would have been like, no man, I hate Neopets. I don't want to do anything with Neopets. That's what would come out. I don't know. But it's any of these fads that we discussed, nobody dies for a fad. No one dies for things that they know are not true. So, we know it's true. They were there. They all witnessed it. Jesus appeared to all of them. There was no denying it, and it changed their lives. And my prayer is that it changes yours. So, on Sunday, like I said, I don't know how many of you are going to be here for church tomorrow, but for those who aren't, I thank you for being here, being a part of this weekend. Why don't we take this opportunity to give a round of applause to Dave, Joe, Ted, and all the ladies in the kitchen and everyone who had a part to do this weekend. It's because of them that this happened, and we should all be thankful for them doing this. But let's close in prayer, and I earnestly pray that you guys, that this message will go with you and that it will get you through those tough times, and that when you are faced with struggles, that you won't be cowards, you won't cower, but you will stand firm for what you believe in. And like I challenged you before, if you are not sure and you have the doubts, and you need to look in deeper to prove it to yourself, please do it. And come see me after I pray here. And if you want me to hook you up with some resources, I will. I'll take your information. I'll make sure that you get resources so that you can look through the facts yourself and build a strong, firm faith foundation in yourself. Let's pray. Dear Lord, I just thank you for this weekend. I thank you for all that have come out. And Lord, I just pray that you will just stick your message that we've heard from Matt, Aaron, Wally, and myself in all of our minds, Lord. It was all, no matter who delivered it, Lord, it was all your messages. And Lord, we just pray that they will carry on with us as we go to our life situations, whether that's school, work, or wherever we happen to be. Lord, I just pray that we will be stronger for you in our faith, and that you will be able to trust us more and more, and that we would be good and faithful servants for you, and that by the transformation in our lives, that more and more people would come to see you as their personal Lord and Savior. Amen.